I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ain't nobody got me feeling like I'm feeling you. Like I'm feeling you.
Yeah, everybody freeze, put your hands up. We ain't about to take it easy, hope your cake's up. London with the beach, yeah, we go so in. Got my girl with a friend, yeah, we both win. Hotel chilling, yeah, she's sweet. Got the pain and the koozie up in the suite. Taking pics with the side chick, ooh, delete. I bet you wondering how I keep it all so neat. Yeah, back in the days, 14 years. Going up, London town, yes, no fears. Went on a vacay, yes, it was a teaser. Later found out she was going to Ibiza.
Hi, guys, and welcome back to another episode of Pump Heads. I didn't quit. I thought about quitting, I'll be honest. It was a great break to not have to think about these idiots or talk about these idiots, but now I have a little more gas in my tank. So I'm back with a very special guest, Jenna Klaus. Hi.
Hello. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you. Yeah, no. Not a mere commoner. You run a TikTok account called DD My Dough that has gone viral several times for your Vanderpump Rules content. And you're a longtime sup head. So I feel honored to have you on the pod.
Thank you so much. This is awesome. I hope, you know, I do well and make you proud.
I'm already proud. You've already done it. I'm like, dream big. It's talking about Vanderpump Rules. So yeah, I think you're going to be just fine. So what we're going to do is just talk about this week's episode and last week's episode. Because as I explained to Jenna, these people have really put me through the ringer this season. I don't really know what's going on, except I am finding myself kind of liking these two episodes more than I've liked past ones. Did you experience the same thing?
I did. I lulled a lot. There was like a couple of really good scenes that I thought were hilarious. It's not like, you know, back in the glory days of Vanderpump Rules by any means, but I had some good laughs with these two episodes.
Yeah, I would say that I was lolling and then also simultaneously just writing like, no, this is like a bad idea. And I think that that is my Vanderpump sweet spot, or like a spot that I will accept as current day Vanderpump Rules.
Yes.
So I guess it was like a pleasant surprise to come back and return to these two episodes.
Absolutely. I used to watch the episodes in like awe of the drama. Mm-hmm. And now I kind of watch them just because they're like slightly funny, because they're just, you know, they're fools. They're all pretty much fools. I love a couple of characters. I want to be friends with Ariana. She's like one of the cast members that I really like. And I like Sandoval, but I love watching all of these people come apart at the seams.
Yeah. What was your favorite season?
Two. I mean, that's what everybody says. I think 2, 3, 4, we'll put 1 in there, 6, 5. I've thought about this before.
Wow. Yeah. You have thought about it. I love that comprehensive answer. I would say maybe 2-6, definitely 5 is the bottom. 2-6-3-1-4-5.
That's a good lineup too. It's 6 yeah. cannot be understated. The Jax cheating on Brittany, although it was not surprising in no. the least bit. It was just still really entertaining. Like what I would say about this season is that it needs more cheating.
We definitely need more cheating. I feel like I'm so sad that Sheena gets herself into these terrible life situations over and over. Yeah. But I do think that nothing good will come of this Brock situation
no.
for her.
No.
So we can bank on that for the future. As
Absolutely.
Sad as that is. And it doesn't have that same glee to it because it truly is like, Sheena, why? Like,
yeah.
But yeah, I agree. We need more cheating or just yeah. like breakups. I guess we'll have that with Raquel and James.
We will. Yes. That's happening. I mean, that all happened off screen and Lala and Rand. But for Sheena, I see in her future another giant sized photo of her with her new man hanging up in her apartment. I see that for her and I'm so happy for her.
Yeah. I think I'm glad to see that she continues to just put up photos of herself as art. So yeah. it is a show where the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Exactly. Exactly.
Or the more things change, the worse everyone's lives really kind of get.
Yes, I'm like, I'm now watching the show and I just have, for almost every scene, I just have a flashback of something similar that happened in past seasons. They did it better in past seasons, but there's still some of the same storylines coming up over and over again that just, I can remember all of the storylines from before and it still makes sense that they're so, you know, living the way they're living.
Yeah. And like this cast, I guess, has some promise for future episodes, but I don't, I think, is Lala not coming back now? Is that what the latest
Ooh,
is? I thought she maybe said she wasn't, know. Or I'm not super sure.
I wouldn't be shocked. I don't think she wants to discuss the, you know, debacle with Rand on air. I think that probably, you know, fucked her up a little bit. So I wouldn't be surprised if she leaves, but I haven't heard that. That's very interesting.
Okay. I thought I heard that somewhere, but I also like don't really keep up with their goings on like outside of the show. People will send yeah. me stuff, but like, I'm like, I don't really care that much.
Yeah.
Nowadays. Someone sent me a really horrific Us Weekly article that was like the cast of Sir, like the, or like the past Sir or past Vanderpump Rules cast members, where are they now? And it was like literally every single person that used to be on the show, just like a tight recap of like what they're up to. And it made me cross-eyed with despair. And then I was yeah. like, I just had to slowly back away. Maybe I need to read some of them because this is good. I'll send you one so you can see.
Please send it to me because like what are they doing? Like I know Jax has a big tax lien. Brittany, I think like HGTV. Dodie, I don't know what the hell she's doing. But like Stassi, you know, I'm not worried about her. I never was. I never really liked her anyway. But like, yeah, what are they doing?
Wait, I'm chatting this to you because some of these need to be shared with the masses.
Oh my God.
Okay, yeah. Stassi, whatever.
Laura Lee, Bill Bloom.
Laura Lee's was really good. I love Kristen's. The only update is the He's Making You Crazy author is still dating boyfriend Alex Minash, who she went public with in April 2020. So like no career updates.
No. Oh my God. What about James May? Those t-shirts were
yeah, like,
so great.
Where is her publicist on this to just like try and plug one thing she's doing? This was an incredible Dana Kathan that says, according to LinkedIn, Dana became the directors of sales at Medication Review Incorporated.
Oh my God. So no stand-up comedy, just like big pharma.
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Good for her.
Brett got just one sentence. The former Bravo star now runs a fitness and lifestyle YouTube channel.
Yeah, of course he does. That's really why he was on the show in the first place, right? Because he was a YouTube star.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, not much has changed for him.
Laura Lee's like final thought was Katie still keeps up with Laura Lee, who often shares selfies with her online via Instagram.
Oh my God. Yes, I've never liked Katie more to learn that she keeps up with Laura Lee. That is so funny. Laura Lee, I remember hearing from Jax that she went to Juilliard, which is very impressive. But
yeah, she was like an actor's actor that somehow took a turn for the sir, and then her life was never the same.
No, that I think that tanked her career.
Tina McDowell truly she really has been through hell.
Oh, yeah.
She got shot on Black Friday in 2019.
I heard about that. Yes, I heard about that. That is fucking crazy.
I don't know if I'd heard about that or not, or if someone had told me, I like promptly just like blacked it out because I couldn't deal.
Yeah.
So she, like, not only did she not really get to be on Vanderpump Rules, she also had to have like a GoFundMe for a gunshot wound on Black Friday, the worst day of the year.
Yeah.
So prayers for Tina.
Yes. Prayers for Tina. She, I thought, was great, but she just didn't get her time to shine.
Yeah, I know. And she was the true like singer-songwriter of the group.
Yes. Yes. Sheena
was merely an opening act. Yeah.
Sheena was an opening act. And she also, you know, screwed up Tina's beautiful song at her wedding by just being so disorganized she couldn't walk down the aisle at the right time. So poor Tina had to sing her song all over again.
Oh my God, you're so right. God. Fucking, I hope things take a turn for Tina in 2022.
I do too. I really do too.
Adam Spot, Sheena's ex-boyfriend, says it's unclear if he keeps in touch with the penguin Sheena purchased him before their split, but he appears to be dating a woman named Gabe and still living in Los Angeles.
Oh, well, Spot the penguin was literally my first question, my only question about Adam. So good to know.
Mm-hmm. I love dating a woman named Gabe.
Yes, Gabe. Interesting name.
Jen Bush. Remember that couple, Jen and Jeremy, that had a kid?
I'll never forget.
Well, they're split up now. And it says Jen frequently shares photos with her new man via Instagram. She also creates and sells craft kids, hair accessories, and gift baskets online.
Wow. What was her husband? They were married, I think. Jeremy? No,
Jeremy.
That's Ariana's brother.
No, it was Jeremy.
Oh, okay. Cool. That's sad, but I'm glad she's making gift baskets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Frank has disappeared.
Oh God,
for all we know. I know.
Yeah, he's just pulling people's underwear over their heads.
Yeah, just a ragtag crew of lost souls.
Yeah,
yeah.
This is hilarious. I can't believe I haven't seen this.
So yeah, that was like the low point of my week, was reading about all of their updates.
Yes, they are bleak.
Very bleak. Okay, wait, let's get into last week's episode.
Great.
Briefly. So I guess it all really revolved around the dissolution of James and Raquel's relationship, which we obviously know they're broken up now, but we're starting to see the cracks. And we got to also see Raquel's sister, Kate, mm-hmm. again, mm-hmm. who I literally thought was Billy Lee when she walked in the door. I was like, she's back.
I wish Billy Lee was back. I loved her. But Raquel's sister, I think, hates James. I can just see it in her eyes.
Yeah, she loathes him. And the whole thing about the relationship now is that he's too controlling, which I guess I agree. I'm glad to see like Raquel having some like personal autonomy and finding her voice and finding her way. That is exciting. I think she's like a good addition to the show. I don't understand. Like, I'm like, is James really mad about these like penis straws, or is this just like manufactured drama for us to like watch?
Yeah, well, it should have been called the cock straw episode, because that's all they talked about pretty much. I think that he is controlling, but it's definitely a contrived storyline. The producers are pushing it. The whole episode was every cast member talking about how controlling James is. But I mean, I think he is. I think he's a kind of a dangerous guy for Raquel.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's the guy that she should legally tie herself to forever. Yeah. Like, I think he's a stepping stone to like finding her bigger purpose in life. Yeah. And like finding a more supportive, well-matched partner.
Yeah.
But, and I do think that he is like a rageaholic and has like serious other issues. But the penis straw thing, I was like, really? You're going to get that mad about them? Like, I don't know. It just seemed fake to me.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm not a penis straw kind of, you know, bachelorette, but wouldn't rile me up that much. And I really did enjoy that Sheena, for her engagement or her bachelorette for Shay, she bought penis straws in bulk. There were a plethora of penis straws. She had them everywhere. And I enjoyed it.
She probably has leftovers in a U-Haul, like, or a storage unit somewhere. So those should be used and not thrown away to litter the oceans with more plastic.
They absolutely should. I hope a dolphin does not swallow one of Sheena's penis straws. That would be tragic.
I think it has. And global warming, we found out why it's happening just now.
Yeah. Blame Sheena for climate change.
Climate change. I think that if you know, everyone says we now just have like plastics in like microplastics in our bloodstreams and like DNA and all, but if you really tested it and a scientist went super, super deep and you had like hundreds of thousands of dollars to spend to isolate like a single molecule of a microplastic, I'll bet you could find a microplastic molecule that's one of Sheena's penis straws from her bachelorette in your own bloodstream.
You absolutely could. I have no doubt about it.
Okay. The next big kind of moment in last week's episode is when Brock goes to Lala and Rand. And he goes over. Sheena goes to have like a spa day with Lala. And then Rand and Brock have a whiskey tasting.
Yes.
And Brock reveals his plan to get engaged and marry Sheena in the same afternoon / 2-hour window. And he wants help from Rand and Lala to not only plan it, but also potentially pay for it.
Yes, that is his ultimate goal. Rand is just throwing back shots of scotch, and he's like, maybe some other things, because he is super pumped to help Brock with this proposal and wedding. And Brock kind of, I was disappointed because he kind of outs himself. He had that comeback to Lala the other night when they were together where he was like, she said she's a fine wine. He was like, well, I'm drinking scotch. And I thought that was very clever. And then he outs himself as like not even getting his own joke. So he's I was like, is he a meathead? Is he? He is. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think, and I think Brock owns this as well, that his education isn't the best.
He does say that. Yes.
I really get the impression. It's like, I don't want to assume that he's just using Sheena, but mm-hmm. all signs point to he's just using Sheena.
Yeah. All major red flags. What also worries me is he like fights with her mom, which is very strange. Like, that's a no for me. If my boyfriend was fighting with my parents, I would probably not be with them. So that was a huge red flag for me.
Yeah. There can't be enough red flags in the Brock situation for Sheena to just kind of like open her eyes and walk the other direction. And like, part of me is like, oh, maybe Brock is just so dumb that he doesn't realize how he's coming off. But that also is not an excuse, because if he's dumb enough to do this and come off this way, he's dumb enough to just like leave Sheena, or like find a reason why he can leave her once their marriage has like fallen, or once he's gotten what he wanted out of the marriage.
Yeah, that's what scares me, because I think Sheena is a vulnerable person just because she latches on to, you know, toxic people. So I'm kind of scared for her. But, you know, I can't say for sure if he's a bad guy, but red flags all over the place.
Yeah, it's not going to be surprising if it all falls apart, I guess.
Yeah. It'll not surprise me. The one thing from that scene that I thought was so funny was that Rand came up with the idea to have it be like one of his movie premieres. And it just made total sense to me that he would come out with a movie and it would be so bad that no one in the group would know he had a movie and would just go to a premiere.
Yeah, and at the premiere, the only people that would be there is the cast of Vanderpump Rules.
Yes, exactly. No questions asked. Sheena would just like be down for it.
Yeah, also a premiere in the middle of like COVID summer.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I'm scared for Randall. Well, I'm not scared for Randall, but like he is at risk for COVID. He can't be risking, you know, a movie premiere in COVID summer.
No, he has way too much going on. A baby. He has a whole slate of shitty movies to produce. Mm-hmm, he's like separating mm-hmm. from La La. Like, he has a lot on his plate and should prioritize his health above all else.
Yes, we know he doesn't do that, but he should.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine.
The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
Sheena and Charlie, who I feel like Charlie like has not been, the last we saw of them was Charlie was like, you're a terrible friend, right? Mm-hmm. And then
yes.
Now they're having lunch. Charlie is just drinking coffee and water. And Sheena reveals that it's not a surprise wedding. Like she's actually like planned most of it and is like ready to get married at any given moment.
Yes.
Which is just classic Sheena.
It is classic Sheena, and it's also classic Sheena to be called a bad friend by people. That is a storyline that started in season one and continues to this day. So it is just one of those tropes of Vanderpump Rules that Sheena is a bad friend. She is a friend collector. She just wants to look good to everyone. That's just, you know, a theme we see throughout the entire series.
I'm always rooting for Sheena in the back of my mind. Yeah. Like I want her to find the kind of love where it's like, she really finds a man who can take care of her in the way that she needs to be like held. And I'm saying that in like the most therapist-y like way possible, like not financially, but just like can truly be there for Sheena.
Yes, she absolutely needs that. I think her personality needs that, somebody to be there for her. She's like the men that she's been with, she's shouldered a lot of the emotional burden of being with these men. So Shay with his drug addiction, Rob with just like literally not being in love with her. And now we have Brock who is borrowing money left and right and, you know, just overall not being a great partner. And she's had to deal with that over all these years.
Yeah. I feel it's like she invests so much like time and literal money into these guys and views it as though that is like an investment that then gets a return of the love that she seeks.
Yes.
But it doesn't have to be that way.
No. And she, you know, the return on investment, I mean, she could do divorce closet. Anybody remember that? The Rob Valletta stellar idea he had for getting rid of your ex's stuff. She could always sell Shay's snowboard.
Yeah, she could sell like ephemera from her past relationships.
Yes.
Even like she should make like NFTs of her with all this like past things and then just get into like go full crypto.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I don't dabble in crypto, but I would if I could get a blow up picture of her wedding to Shay.
Yeah, I mean, like that, I feel like tons of people would buy that and she could make a fortune off of that kind of like NFT.
Absolutely. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the Toms are having their like friend break, but they really miss each other. Mm-hmm. And I also don't believe this like friend break is a real thing. It's just like another fake storyline to like buy time for the episode.
Absolutely. I don't think anything we're getting is 100% real. I think the friend break is kind of bullshit too. I know they want to like hang out with each other. So, and you know, we see it doesn't last very long anyway.
Yeah. And like that, I remember like getting into the next episode, like I remember when they posted like those warring like Instagram photos and people were like, oh my God, what's going on?
Yeah. But
like it irritates me to see like, to just know that it's all fake.
So produced.
At the end of the day.
So produced. Yeah. I could tell when James like looked down at his phone while Schwartz was talking, I was like, a producer just told him to look at Instagram. Like I just instinctively knew that.
Yeah. We also find out that a huge reason that Brock wants to marry Sheena so quickly is because he doesn't have his green card. And so I'm sure like the clock is literally ticking until he gets like deported. So he and Sheena have to get married like ASAP, which is just another like the odds are truly stacked against her in every single way, shape and form in this relationship.
Absolutely. I would love to have like a timestamp of like how many days left until Brock gets deported because he's like very fervent about getting this wedding done. So, you know, time is ticking, but I would love to know at that point when he was planning with Randall exactly how many days he has left. I would love to know that.
Yeah. No, I'm sure it would be like we have a month and a half or 2 months before we have to like send like timestamp and send in all this information.
Yes.
So once again, just sad for Sheena.
Sad for Shishu.
Okay, so this week's episode opens with Katie going over to Lala's and Lala is just pumping. And she, her tits have never just been in better shape. She's like had no problems with pumping or breastfeeding really.
Yes.
And is just like living, laughing, producing milk.
Yes, she had because of the nipple play, all of the nipple play that her and Rand do. She was totally prepared for a child, you know, suckling on her teat. She was excited for it.
And she said that she and Randall were having sex like twice a week and she was giving him tons of blowies. But now that she's a mom, she really doesn't want his dick in her mouth anymore.
Yeah, I was very surprised to hear that. I don't think that I thought I would ever hear something like that from Lala because she, you know, leads with her sexuality. But I can see, you know, Rand's being a really disgusting husband and being like, well, I'm not getting blowies every day, so let me just DM these girls on Instagram. That's the first thing that came to my mind when she said that.
Yeah, I guess I could see like a version of Lala's life where like motherhood has really changed her in a lot of ways. And like, it obviously hasn't changed Rand.
No.
It's his like third kid. So he's just going to stay the same. And then she's going to evolve. And thus the relationship will fall apart as we know it does.
I haven't really seen an evolution from Lala quite yet. I think she hasn't like fully raged out. But I mean, she's still kind of unlikable to me. I haven't liked her since, you know, she made up with Katie. I think that was the point where I was like, she's kind of boring. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she's much more like guarded with her personal life, and probably a lot of that has to do with like getting sober and not being like a hot mess, like drunk. Yes. And like, I guess considering, I don't know what she's going to do next if she doesn't do this show. Like, it's like she's, but I'm intrigued. And I think it's kind of like a smart strategic move to kind of set herself apart from everyone. But I definitely don't think we're getting like the full scope of what's going on in her day-to-day life.
No, and I don't think we'll ever get that. As much as I desperately want to know every detail, we're never going to get it out of her.
Mm-hmm. That's true. She will remain a mystery.
Yes.
She's mad that Ariana didn't speak to her at the Give Them La La beauty party. I don't really care about that. And then Katie and Ariana. Okay, so they talked in the last episode about making a sandwich shop. They're very inspired by Nancy Myers. And I was like, is this real? And it seems like it's maybe a real thing.
Yeah, well, Lala goes, it's brilliant. Yeah, so I guess it's a real thing. I mean, we learn more about it later on in this episode, but it's so entertaining to me. I think it's hilarious.
They're going to go set up a meeting with Randall to become an investor in their sandwich shop. And Randall, like, I don't trust Randall to begin with, but I certainly don't trust any investor who says, like, I'm dying to invest in one, just anyone from Vanderpump Rules. I'm like dying to invest in their business. I'm like,
I don't think that's
they're like, Lala was like, oh, finally, Randall will get to invest in someone's business. But I'm like, why are you like, you're barking up the wrong tree.
I know. Not Maddox and Maloney's sandwich shop. That's not, I think, in his best interest, but he just, you know, is ravenous for new deals and he wants his name on a sandwich. Apparently, that was a good call by Lala. I think that is really what he wants. We could have a pastrami on Rand or Gaudi and Gouda.
Maybe it's like one of those things where if you just have extra money and you don't want to pay taxes on it, if you just like give it to someone and like invest in their business, you can write it off as a loss and then you don't have to pay taxes. And then if it takes off, like, great. But if it doesn't, at least you have a sandwich named after you.
Yeah, exactly. And that's all.
Maybe
all
I'm understanding. This is all just like, instead of paying the IRS, he's just going to sink that money into the cast of Vanderpump Rules. And I can't really say that I'm mad at that.
Yeah, I mean, that's rich people shit that I know nothing about, but it makes a lot of sense.
Okay, it's all happening for me. Things are coming together. I'm here for the sandwich shop. Like, I would go to the sandwich shop and order a sandwich.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I would be there in a heartbeat.
James goes over to Tom Schwartz's to teach him how to DJ because the Toms are still on a break. And I just wrote classic that Schwartz wants to DJ because he truly is a lost boy.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely don't buy that he is ever going to DJ in real life. I think maybe the producers were like, you know, James is going to come over. Why do you want him to come over? What are you going to talk about? And he was like, I don't know, like maybe DJing. Like, I don't think he's literally ever going to spin anything.
Yeah. If he couldn't manage just like pouring glasses of rosé at Pump, there's no way he can manage like turntables and syncing up audio and like dealing with the crowd. Like, you're very right about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then meanwhile, Sandoval is working out in his home gym, which I'm jealous of his whole workout setup.
Yeah, the pink and blue lights. Looks great. Those are awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brock comes over and Brock reveals that he can no longer afford the venue for his engagement wedding to Sheena because now it's $20,000 and it's just simply out of his budget.
Yeah, I feel like Sandoval was kind of feeling him out a little bit, like in the best interest of Sheena, because he made some kind of comment on like, oh, you're not going to pay because you just don't love her enough or something like that. That I was like, you know what? Sandoval is a skeptic too, is a Brock skeptic. I can feel it.
Yeah, I think everyone is in their right mind to be a Brock skeptic because the more that unfolds about his financial situation, it's like, you should not be paying any money for anything. Like if you need to get married because you need a green card, you guys should go to the courthouse, keep it simple, have one witness, sign the papers, mail them. You don't need to be spending any money on a ring. You don't need to be spending any money on a venue. And like, I understand that like Brock would want to just like piggyback on James and Raquel's like venue, which is so classic Vanderpump Rules to just like try and like do your own thing. But I'm also like, don't do that because that that's almost worse than like, I would not want that.
No. And I do get flashbacks to Katie's wedding where Sandoval brings up the idea of marriage to Ariana. And she was like, well, I know you wouldn't be as tacky as to ask me to marry you at somebody else's wedding. And that's just what I think with this Brock situation. Like, not the time and place.
No. And like, when you get married, don't you just take on your spouse's debt?
Ooh, that's a good question. I do not know, but potentially.
I thought that you did. Okay, I'm Googling this because I'm like very concerned. When one or both partners have debt coming into the marriage, the debt belongs solely to the person who incurred them. Okay, well, that's good.
Okay.
Because Brock just put a $25,000 ring on across four credit cards. So in my head when he did that, I was like, oh my God, is Sheena just going to be on the hook for this? But it's good he's paying for that before. But also then you're just like marrying someone who's an additional $25,000 in debt. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we don't even know what other kind of debt he has.
No. And like, I think a ring should not be like, I don't want to get a piece of jewelry that then someone is in like crippling debt because they gave it to me.
Yeah, exactly. That like huge boulder that he bought her. Like, that's just a reminder of like, oh, your partner is broke now.
Yeah. And also it's not even a diamond. So like, you really just, that was like a bad decision all around. Yes. And it's way less romantic if someone is like financially suffering to give it to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I would feel bad if somebody like tried to spend every last penny they had, but it's typical for what we've seen with Brock so far.
Yeah. Like, I want someone that's like, oh my God, I have just so much leftover money that I thought, why not buy you like a diamond tennis necklace? And then I'm like, thank you so much. I love this. And I love that you just paid for this and we can both like go have lunch and not be worried about it.
Yes.
Okay. So they're not, once you've married, if you co-sign a debt or open a joint credit account together, you would share responsibility for those equally.
Okay.
If you live in a community property state, most debts incurred after marriage may be treated as the responsibility of both spouses. California is a community property state.
Wow.
Ooh, she should not open up a credit account with him.
No.
Because we all know now that his credit isn't good in America.
Yeah.
Ooh, Sheena, please, girl.
She needs to just look. She needs to watch her own season, her own past seasons of Vanderpump Rules, and remind herself what it's like to share finances with an unstable man. Because it doesn't end well.
Yeah. So then like the next scene after like the Toms have their Insta wars with like each other, Sheena is at home. Lala comes over and she reveals that she knows all about the surprise wedding and that she's actually like incredibly prepared. She's like, I got a dress. I got my nails done. My eyelashes are done. And I have a step and repeat photographer. And I was like, yeah. Wow. So this is an event with a step and repeat. Love that.
Yes.
And she just had a prenup drafted and she said she had to give half of her finances to Shay in their divorce. So that's why she's like, I will have a prenup. What season was it when they got divorced? 4 or 5?
It was 5 because it was right after Katie's wedding. It was like the last episode in the season where Sheena tells Shay that she's meeting with the lawyer.
Okay, fuck. So she was making like good money on the show by then.
Yeah. Yeah. It's I literally gasped. It's half of her money is crazy. I don't think he deserved that at all.
No, but also that's what happens if you don't have a prenup. And so now we all know, get a fucking prenup, especially in California. But also, she puts so much literal cash into these relationships. Like, I can't wrap my head around what's calling her to do this.
Yeah. I think she just, falls in love with people and kind of loses all sense of what, is best for herself.
Yeah. She loves love maybe too much.
She does. Way too much.
Schwartz and Sandy have a meeting about Schwartz and Sandy's. And we see that they are like prepping all these like big plans and renovations. And the like guy who did the garden area of Tom Tom is going to like come in and really like do up the restaurant, and he quotes them as like a 3 to 6 month project or something like that.
Yeah.
And in my head, I was like, that's like 8 to 10 months minimum.
Yeah, absolutely. With everything Sandoval has in his mind about what he wants it to look like with the LED starry night and what lowering the ceiling, like that's not going to be quick.
Yeah. And I wonder if this is like, I want to be able to give them the benefit of the doubt and be like, I'm sure everything's going to come together and it's fine. And they like actually do have the money and it's like, it is what it is. And they just try and make them look dumb for storylines or try and make it seem like they're going to fail.
Yeah.
But then I'm also like, are they just going to fail? Like, I guess I appreciate that it's still like tenuous even after all the success that they've had on this show, that they still might not be truly capable human beings.
Yeah, exactly. You do question them at every corner. And I think that's for last season or the season when they're opening up Tom Tom, like Lisa was that person to make them look dumb. And now it just is like the producers seemingly want to make them look dumb.
Yeah. And so I guess only time will tell.
Yeah.
I feel like though, maybe I just am holding on like too much hope for the show getting like back to a good place or like a more watchable place. But I guess like there are pretty high stakes being established right now. Like they could fail at their restaurant. Sheena could, her marriage to Brock could fail. James, will he stay sober? Will he not post Raquel? Now Raquel's single. Like how will she deal with being single? It's like laying groundwork for kind of a new era. So I don't know. Yeah. They just always keep us on the hook.
I know. I hope that they keep their jobs on Vanderpump Rules because they're, it seems like they're all very big spenders and I don't want to see any of them. Like when Jax and Brittany, I would love to see them crash and burn. But like Schwartz and Katie, Ariana and Sandoval, like I don't want bad things for them. So I hope this all works out.
Yeah, like I have like dreams for them or like ideas for them where they could like thrive in their yeah. own ways. But I agree. I don't want to see them like in deep, dark pain.
No, not at all.
Kate comes back over to James and Raquel's. And so James reveals he was going to quit smoking weed on the 2-year anniversary of his sobriety from alcohol. But then yep. someone at Sur got COVID. So he had to quarantine and there was nothing else to do but smoke weed. So now yeah. he's just like going to keep smoking weed.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of agree with him on that front. Like, what else are you going to do?
Yeah. I mean, I could think of a lot of things he could do, like journal or take up yoga yeah. or like figure something out.
That's but true. That's all true.
He says he was just going to like, what was he going to do? He's going to be in the studio making sick beats anyway. So he just might as well be smoking a ton of weed.
Yeah. Yeah. So I need to talk about Raquel's table setting that mm-hmm. she put together. I don't know if that's in your notes, but she cut out little circles and then looks like she printed out names and then she cut tiny little names and then taped them to the circles. So like no Google Sheets in Raquel, in the world that Raquel lives in. She made these, you know, strange little table settings. I thought that was really, really funny.
I love her DIY spirit. I feel like that very much tracks yes. with like her making mood boards and her really like visualizing how it's going to look to have
yeah.
these certain people at these certain tables. Like she's not really like, she's not like a computer kind of girl. She's more like
yes.
crafty than that. She likes to get her yeah. hands dirty.
Mood boards and all that. Yeah.
So Kate is skeptical of James. Raquel is obviously like skeptical of James, but they're still going to be moving forward. And the venue with their engagement party and the venue that they picked out looks stunning.
I know. My God. The views. I like, do you know where in California that is?
I don't, but it's Santa yeah. Ynez. I feel like that's not so far away from Los Angeles. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it looks gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. It's like kind of up in Santa Barbara County. So like wine country, probably like 3-ish hours away from Cali or from Los Angeles. I love gotcha. That for them. Yeah, yeah. It's like a Tuscan villa kind of looking venue. It's going to be really yeah. chic. I'm like, again, God, these people make so much money if they can like pull off like I a know. Whole party like this, but more yeah. power to them. Just yeah. sinking that money down the drain.
Yep.
So Brock calls Tom and Ariana and he reveals that his plan is to sneak off one afternoon at James and Raquel's engagement weekend and have Sandoval marry them in a secret, like quickie ceremony.
Yeah. And Ariana is their witness.
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't feel like Sheena would like this as a plan.
No. I don't think anyone would like that as a plan, just to sneak off like at somebody else's engagement party and get married. It's not like, I don't know if they have like, in the woods, like Katie and Tom's wedding, like a little area that's like cute and pretty. But I, in my mind, I just see them like walking to the edge of the property and like going through bushes, like to try and find an open spot for Brock and Sheena to get married. That's just what I yeah. picture.
I'm also like I was like, would Sheena like this? And then we see a clip from next week and then she's like, well, no one can know about it, like we have to be yeah. like, super secret. And then I was like, okay, is production just paying for this venue and then they're like, do whatever you need to do, like, or is mm-hmm. this, like, again, I just keep coming back to, is this real, is this fake? And it's not a headspace I enjoy living yeah. in on this show. Like I guess I do think that a lot of this is real. Like I do believe that Brock is totally broke and like can't afford yeah. to get married to Sheena and would want to just piggyback off of this like wedding venue.
Yes.
But I also just don't see Sheena being like game for that. Like, I would rather like, why don't you just take that photographer that you hired and Tom and Ariana in your dress and again, go to the courthouse and just like get married and have a photo shoot.
It's so strange that they would do this and that she's like down for this because it doesn't seem typical of her at all.
Yeah. So then Katie and Ariana go to Lisa's and reveal their plans to open an unapologetically feminine sandwich shop called Something About Her.
Yes. So I guess this is like the Nancy Myers of it all. Something About Her, like a 90s rom-com.
Yeah. And
it's a terrible name.
Really, I kind of am liking the name. I'm like, I guess I'm like, I think of that brand like Love Shack Fancy or something, and like, or just like really like frilly, girly stuff that's in right now. And I'm like, okay, like I get, like, sure, why not? Like, I'm into it for some reason. I just want the sandwiches to be good. If the sandwiches are really, really, really good, then I think that that name totally tracks and is doable. Yeah. But if they're mediocre, like if they're anywhere near what the food is like at any of Lisa Vanderpump's restaurants, then I'm sad.
Yeah. And I've never eaten at any of Lisa Vanderpump's restaurants, but I know to steer clear of them, except for Tom Tom, which I've heard, you know, on this pod that is pretty good. But Something About Her has Katie Maloney written all over it. It like reminds me of how she thought Schwartz and Sandy's should actually be called Once Upon a Tom.
Yeah, she's like a whimsical name.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, maybe they'll have like, I mean, if they had a bakery, if it was like a bakery sandwich shop where they like make their own bread and it's like very artisanal.
Yeah.
I can definitely get behind that.
Yeah. You're making me see the light. Yeah.
But like if it was like, you know, do you remember City Bakery? Did you ever go to City Bakery in New York?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. It closed like fairly recently, but it was like truly delicious, had like the best chocolate chip cookies and brownies and this like thick hot chocolate, and like it was like a lunchy breakfasty kind of place, and I feel like maybe they could do like a city, if their place was like as good as City Bakery, I'm seeing that for them. I don't know why it has to be unapologetically feminine.
Yes, like, that doesn't seem like Ariana at all. To like,
it doesn't seem like sandwiches at all. But
no, but I guess
maybe they have like, maybe they have tea. Like they could have like a high tea.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I'm also like, is this real? Like, what is real and what is fake? I like can't discern reality anymore. It's living in like a fever dream of just like,
Every scene I ask myself that, like, is this real or is this a producer prompting them to do this or that? I feel like the sandwich shop is real because, as we see in this meeting at Lisa's house, like, Katie needs help. She needs emotional help. And I don't think she would go into a business venture because the producers told her to, when she's like clearly in need of something.
Yeah. I think they both really need this. Like they need a purpose in life. So I am all in for Something About Her.
Yes, me too.
And I hope that it happens. I wonder where they're going to open it. Maybe in the Valley. I need like more info.
Yeah.
I'm going to be looking into this. Shortly. Brock and Sandoval go to Kyle Chan Jewelers to the Stars to pick up Brock's engagement ring for Sheena.
Yes. Kyle Chan, he must have been like one of Lisa's friends, right? Like how else would they meet this like jeweler?
I don't know. They like must have come up with him. Did he work at Sir ever? Was he just like always a jeweler?
I think the only thing I remember is him being just a jeweler, but it's just so hilarious to me that every ring on this show or piece of jewelry has come from Kyle Chan.
Yeah. And he's also like, he has his store in like West Hollywood.
Yeah.
Wow. Kyle Chan, he's really done it.
He has. He's a mastermind.
He's succeeded. He gets like every time someone gets engaged or married, Kyle Chan's there to make them a ring.
Yeah, exactly. And pour them some drinks while they're purchasing rings.
Yeah. That's so this
always is a part of the equation.
When Brock gets Sheena her $25,000 not diamond, a 12 carat, like this is just, he is like very stupid because this is just like a stupid thing to buy from beginning to end. It's so big. It's like not the kind of thing you'd want to wear every day. It's also not a diamond. Big. Yeah. So it's like,
what is Morganite? I've never heard of that.
It's like a crystal or something. Let's like, okay. Look that up. I'm trying to find all these answers. Okay. It's a pink gemstone. It's more affordable than a pink diamond.
Mm-hmm.
Morganite is very, very sparkly because of how the light radiates off of it. And then it's a more of a budget-friendly option.
Yeah. I mean, that all makes a lot of sense. The size of it does not make sense to me. Why you would buy like a big, sparkly, non-diamond ring. Like, I think I'd be a little embarrassed wearing a ring with a stone that big.
Yeah. If it's like, unless you're truly like insanely rich and that is a diamond and it's like a great quality, huge diamond. And then you also have a bodyguard with you and like a driver. It's like, no, you probably shouldn't be wearing that. And then if it's not a diamond, it's just a cocktail ring.
Yes. Yes. That's exactly what it looks like costume jewelry.
Yeah. Like, I guess he probably got it at cost or whatever, but still, even if he got it for like, if the ring's worth 25K, but he paid 12K, that's still $12,000 on not a diamond.
Yes. Yes.
Oh man. I just wrote, this is so bad.
It is bad, but his credit cards went through, which is great for him. Mm-hmm. That definitely, you know, wouldn't happen if Jax was there. Jax is notorious for his cards being declined. I was kind of hoping for a declined situation. Didn't pan out, but you know, it's good for Sheena.
Yeah. I wonder if any of those credit cards were Sheena's credit card.
Oh my God. Could be. I would not put it past them. Yeah.
Tom and Tom have a progress party for their restaurant.
Progress party.
And there's trash everywhere. There's a dead roach on the floor. It really is a non-progress party. And
yes,
as Tom is explaining the vision to everyone, Lisa and Ken are just like completely horrified. And this is like the funniest part of the episode is like when they walk in and take in the trash and the roach and just realize that like this is going to be an expensive endeavor that might not work out in their favor.
Yeah, I just love them like whispering to each other like, oh, that's not gonna work. It was just like, I don't even know why they invited her, to be honest, because she was always just gonna shit on it.
Yeah, I mean, like she literally is just like a cast member of Vanderpump Rules now, so I guess you simply must invite Lisa.
Yeah,
but I'm also wondering if she is gonna end up like, if this season is gonna end with her being like, okay, like we will give you this money, or like we will, or maybe she will like invest in the sandwich shop or something.
Yeah, I could see the sandwich shop. I don't see her investing in Schwartz and Sandy's because I think that she maybe is a little butthurt about them doing their own venture. She says she's not, but I feel like she thinks she, you know, built them up. So she might have a little, you know, negative feelings about them opening up their own place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I feel like she does kind of want them to fail or doesn't want people to like stop going to Tom Tom and start going to Schwartz and Sandy's.
Exactly.
And I wonder if they like just cashed out of their profits from Tom Tom and then are just like starting totally fresh or like what happened there.
Yeah, I mean, they probably are using some income from Tom Tom, but you know, they had to get those home equity loans. So
Ken and Lisa seem to think it will cost $500K to totally renovate the place. And Lisa goes, yeah, they're in over their heads. And Ken goes, they're gonna lose a lot of money. I'm
so
glad that
dark.
Ken can still speak. Yeah.
I know Ken is on his last leg. And I don't, you know, I wish the best for him, but he is, you know, fading.
Mm-hmm. Much like the dog that they now carry around with them and like plop onto counters.
Yeah. They always need a tiny dog as an accessory.
Brock and Sheena fight in their confessional, and that gave me the life that I needed to live another day in this cruel world.
Oh my God. She gave him over $10,000 and he disputed that. I believe her. And then he breaks down and he cries. I can't decide if he's like a schemer or just like a doofus, but like he's certainly toxic, has a lot of red flags. And I was just like, I don't know. I thought that was a great moment that I haven't seen on the past couple of seasons, like kind of a raw confessional, because Sheena seems surprised that he broke down.
Yeah. Like we need to like go one step deeper and see what the deal is. Cause I do think it is like a manipulative, I'm like, is he really crying? Like, also, is he trying to control this narrative in front of cameras that it's like she hasn't given him all this money? And I think that that's really manipulative. Like, I just don't know what the end game is, but I am hooked to see where this all goes.
Yeah, I definitely think he knows how much she gave him and he was just embarrassed to hear her say it out loud on TV.
Mm-hmm. James and Brock have a side conversation that turns into like a true fight on mostly James' side. Again, I'm like, I don't know what Brock is trying to accomplish here. Cause like he is going to try to get secretly married to Sheena at James and Raquel's engagement weekend. So you would think that he would just be like nice and supportive and like try and butter James up and make James feel really good just about himself and about life so that if he does find out about this, then he'll be like, oh, that's okay. I love Brock. Like, and instead he's doing the opposite, which he's like triggering James and then getting into an altercation. Yeah. And I'm again, always coming back to the question, is Brock stupid? And I guess I have answered that question for myself. And the answer is yes. Yeah, he's like really, really dumb.
I do think he is. He says, yes, I've had a poor education. But I think James is really the stupid one for screaming in the face of this like giant man that could crush him. And it would be terrifying. Like James just popped off so quickly and so rageful. And I was like, how can you look at this man who's like 200 pounds more than you and just like scream in their face?
Yeah, 200 pounds more than you with a history of violence.
Yes, yes. Cannot forget about that.
So it wouldn't be his first time like backhanding someone. And but I'm also like, what is James? I feel like James just has like a lot on his mind besides whatever we're seeing on camera.
I would not be surprised if he is doing drugs. Like I can't, his rage was scary to get to go so quickly to, you know, to rage. Like he has, it's at least Adderall.
I know, that's what I was going to say. It feels very like amphetamine based rage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Brock didn't, there was no trigger point. Like all he said was like, I care about you, man. Or like,
he
was like, oh, you see, oh, you're really stressed out. So you felt like you needed to smoke weed. And then James like went crazy on him, which I guess has been James's MO, obviously, because you think back to like the Max altercation.
Yes.
And yeah, I'm like worried for James. Love that he's becoming like the villain of the show because he is a great villain and he's highly entertaining. But I also like want him to live. You know what I mean? Like I don't.
Yes.
Like I don't want him to die.
Yeah. And like he, the last time he was the villain was like season three when he was spitting on Dodie's door saying like, you slut, like walking out of her apartment building. And he was definitely a, you know, huge villain back then. And it seems like he's moving towards that again. He had a lot of sympathy between, you know, season three, season four, and where we are now. But he might not deserve it.
Yeah. So everything is really like in a TBD place right now on the show. Yeah.
He says to Brooke, he goes, adios, amigo. I love that.
I love, like, I wish that this was just going to be like a Mexican restaurant because
I know,
every time I see it, I'm like, oh, I just want to go to like a big Mexican restaurant and eat like Mexican food. And then I get sad that it's like not going to be that.
I know.
Well, Jenna, thank you so much for joining me on the pod to talk about these episodes.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, what are your predictions for the future?
So I am not good at predictions. I hope that we'll get a next season just to see how, you know, all of this stuff with Raquel and James and Lala and Rand pan out. Hopefully Lala would be on the show. But I predict it will still be as produced as it is right now, which sucks, but I think they're in this like rut they can't get out of. No one's willing to get as like raw as they were in the first couple of seasons. It's too, you know, scary for them. So I don't think we'll ever really have a good season ever again, but yeah. I will continue to watch.
I love that. I don't know. I'm reconsidering a lot of things now because it really hit me over the break. I was like, why would I actually like, why do I owe it to anyone to do something that doesn't bring me absolute joy? So I'm in kind of a place of like the Kim Cattrall meme that's like, I don't want to be around anything for 1 second, that XYZ. So we'll see.
Yeah.
But I was intrigued by these episodes and Darked Out, which I guess is all you can really ask for at this stage in the Vanderpump game.
And I realized that we skipped over this because I think it was in episode 12 where they had a whole segment on Jax as the lawn doctor.
Yes.
And we got flashbacks to not only him mowing the lawn, but we got security camera footage of him giving a samurai sword back to Sandoval, which of course just brings up the, you know, the flashback of him stealing sunglasses and that video getting leaked. But I think I just thought it was so interesting that like Jax of all people is really the only character to be referenced in this entire season. Like there's some pictures and video of Stassi and a little of Kristen, but like Jax is really the person that they actually reference. It's weird.
Yeah, it is weird. And it's fun. I mean, I think like I loved that footage of him giving the sword back and that they like had to blur his face. I like imagining him being furious that anything is shown of him. And I feel like that's why he tried to kind of like low key just slide it over because he didn't want anything to be used.
Yeah.
I still think someone had proposed this on a past episode, but I was like, I could definitely see a world in which like Stassi comes back to the show.
Oh God. I mean, I could actually see that because she's been like canceled so many times and she just comes back each time. I mean, I would not like that. I do not like Stassi. I don't think she's been good since season 4. I loved her, like loved to hate her 1 through 4 season personality. But like, she's too like quippy and like, you know, tries to be funny and relatable. And like, I don't care about that. That doesn't make me happy to watch.
Yeah. Like, I could see them doing like when Kristen Cavallari returned to like the hills or whatever, like came on the hills, like her crawling back and begging for forgiveness. I feel like Bravo would enjoy that arc for her, and that's something that she would maybe want to do too. And they all, I don't know what the ratings have been like for this season.
I think they have not been great, which also pisses me off because then Jax can be like, oh, the show isn't good without us, even though it was like terrible last season too.
Okay, the latest ratings is that they have taken a nosedive. This is as of October.
Mm-hmm. It's really weird how many fans Stassi and Jax have. Like, just being on TikTok, I get so many comments like, Stassi is queen. We love Stassi. Blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, could never be me. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, you must get like a lot. Do you get any like TikTok haters?
No, everybody's been pretty like very light.
Yeah, it's like, very light and very, and it's like clips from the shows and like a really funny context. So it's not really like everyone looks like an idiot at one point or another.
Yeah.
You're not showing anything that someone hasn't already done, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess they only pulled in 637,000 viewers for the premiere, but then the season 8 premiere was 1.2 million viewers. So, wow. Okay. Well,
wow.
Doesn't seem like it's going anywhere though.
No, that's unfortunate, but I can see why it's just not as good as it used to be.
Yeah, true. Well, Jenna, thank you so much again. Tell everyone where they can find you. Let's spell it out for them so they can be sure to follow you.
So you can follow me on TikTok at DidiMyDoe, DidiMyDoe.
Love it. And you guys absolutely should. Jenna's slaying on TikTok. And thank you for your content, honestly.
Yeah, and thank you for yours.
You're so welcome.
Yeah, this has been awesome.
Guys, until next time, love and light. Bye.
Bye. Ain't nobody got me feeling like I'm feeling you.